Do you consider yourself to be a victim of circumstances? For a Christian, that shouldn't be the case because God works through all things for our good. That's one great lesson we learn from the book of Ruth.
Nothing just happens in our lives. God had this plan from before the foundations of the earth that she would end up here at this place. And she did. She ended up, and she could have been rebellious, said, I'm not going with Ruth, and the Lord would have had a different plan. But there's nothing that just happens in our lives, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you can let good things happen or bad things happen. You can make bad things happen or you can make good things happen. But God overall sees what's going to happen. And it's you and how you handle what happens that shows the character you are as a man or a woman. And it's the circumstance, again, proving your heart. It's not your heart proving the circumstance.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and shout.
It's unfortunate that many people seem to live their lives waiting for circumstances to change or fearing that events are conspiring against them. What a relief to grasp the words of Romans 8, where we find the promise that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Today on Chapter and Verse Radio, we find an Old Testament picture of this principle as Mike McIntosh leads us through the book of Ruth. The messianic promises that thread their way through Scripture are evident in the marvelous story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. Ruth plays a brief but vital role in expediting God's plan of salvation, and as Pastor Mike points out, this book plays a crucial part in the preparation for the birth of Christ. Now let's listen to Mike McIntosh for today's edition of CNV for a study recorded for this Christmas season.
Turn to your Bibles to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. We're going to continue our story, Christmas with Ruth. Before we look at Ruth, it's Christmas time, of course, and you need to have some humor to keep the kids going, right? All of you have little kids around you? Here's three little Christmas bits of humor. Very little, but it's still humor. But I love to talk to the kids in the Sunday school and in our preschool and during the week. And these kids, they have some good insights to life. And they love the Bible. But here's three little Christmas humor jokes you can share with other kids. They may never talk to you again after these, but at least they'll understand you care. Let me ask you, this boy asked me this question. He said, what do you call a polar bear wearing earmuffs? A polar bear wearing earmuffs? I don't know. What do you call him? He said, anything you want. He can't hear you. Okay, right, all right. So this little girl, about 6 years old, said, what do you call a chicken at the North Pole? And I said, chicken at the North Pole? I don't know. She said, call him Lost. I said, Lost. Okay, I get it, yeah. And then another little girl, about 5 years old, said, Pastor Mike, how do you know if you have a reindeer in your refrigerator? And I said, I don't know. How do you know you have a reindeer in your refrigerator? She said, look for the hoof prints in your butter. Okay, I told you, very little, but at least you'll have something to talk to the kids about over their Christmas dinner, right? All right. If you didn't join us last week, a thumbnail sketch is the book of Ruth is 4 chapters long, very short story. It's a love story. It starts out with a lot of bitterness. We have some characters in it. Elimelech, where the song Elimelech, Elimelech came from, that guy's name. His name means my God is Lord. He had a wife named Naomi, whose name meant pleasant or pleasantness. They had 2 sons. They were from South Los Angeles. Their names were Mahlon and Chilion. And they moved over to Moab because of the famine that was in Israel at the time. We finished a verse-by-verse study of the book of Judges. And we saw that it was a wicked time during the book of Judges. So God brought judgment to Israel by the famine. They moved to Moab. Moab is east of the Dead Sea. It's where we call modern-day Jordan. And the two boys married these two Moabitess women, Orpah and Ruth. And Orpah means petite, agile, gazelle, deer. Ruth means beautiful, pleasant, and friendly. So they're very attractive girls. But Mahlon and Chilion, their names translated sickly and piney. Figure that one out. Sickly and piney marry beautiful and athletic. It's just kind of a crazy story. But anyhow, the boys end up dying. And Naomi goes back home because there's food in Israel. Ruth goes with her. They see her and says, they say, is this Ruth? is this Naomi? And her name, Pleasantness. And she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Bitterness. Call me Mara, because God's hand has been dealt against me. And in reality, it hadn't. So here they are, the two women back in town, poor, broke, no money. And we pick up the story right there. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. And then she left and went and gleaned in the fields after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord be with you. Now Naomi is very bitter, but God is going to do something unique. And there's a lot of lessons inside of this story, and I hope you could learn a couple of them at least. But it's one of the things is she wants her circumstances changed. Every woman here could understand the stress she had and the heartbreak she had. Lost her husband, lost both of her boys. She's broke. She's homeless. She goes back home, sees her old friends, and her daughter is working in the fields to support the two of them. But a lot of people have the attitude that if I can just change my circumstances, life will be better. If I just divorce this man, if I just divorce this woman, if I find a better husband or a better wife, if I just quit this job and get another job, if I move to another house, a bigger house will answer it all for me. I know it will. Don't ever think of the bigger taxes or bigger payments. But the bigger house is usually the trap. To get a different car, if I get rid of this car, change the circumstances, and everything will be fine. But I want to tell you something. I've learned, and the Bible has taught, that God wants to change our hearts before he changes our circumstances. That's what he's involved in. Because it's a horrible thing if our circumstances change for the better, but we remain the same person. We'll be worse off than we were before the circumstances change. It's the heart that needs to be changed. So God is going to allow this horrible period of Naomi's life to come into view, but he's also going to use it to bring a better life. Now, Ruth is pretty despondent. She married sickly. And here she is beautiful. Now she married sickly. And beautiful marries sickly. He dies. But she's such a gracious woman that she sticks with the mother-in-law, comes back to Israel. And she had a rough time. The interesting thing about Ruth's story is it begins with the death of a husband. But it's going to end up with the birth of a baby. And we all have these situations that end up with death to something in our life. But God has new birth waiting for each one of us. He wants to bless us. And Christmas could be a hard time for you because it's maybe a death has been in your family at Christmas. It's a horrible time to lose somebody during the holiday seasons. And every time the season comes back, it's always in your mind. Or just maybe some problem, a relationship, a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship is broken off. Or you just got laid off of work. The governor, bless his heart, just mentioned he's going to cut about $500,000 out of all the lower income housing support. $500,000, $1.7 billion going out of the budget, thousands being laid off throughout the state. And this is a rough time for people. All over the country, it's a rough time. And Christmas could be a rough time for you. But God doesn't want to just change the circumstance. He wants to change your heart. He'll use the circumstance to make you a better person. And if Ruth had never come graciously with her mother-in-law, and if she had never gone into this particular field, you would not be celebrating Christmas this year or any year. Because Ruth ends up being the great-grandmother of King David. And without King David, you wouldn't have the lineage that Jesus Christ came through and that he was born in this town where we pick up the story in Bethlehem. There wouldn't be a song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, had Ruth not come to this town of Bethlehem that we're looking at. So she says to her mother, could I go out into the fields? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18, God spoke through Moses, and Moses said that God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and he loves the alien or the foreigner, giving him food and clothing. Now, this is the social welfare program of God. Government doesn't supply the needs of the poor. The people of the country supply the needs of the poor. He works through people to love people that are in need. And as it was that if you were a landowner, and you, like Boaz, who was very wealthy, and you had people gleaning your fields, you would leave a tenth of your field, a quarter of your field would be left behind for the foreigners, for the widows, for the fatherless children, for the poor people. And they could come onto your property without being arrested for trespassing, and they could start taking whatever was there. That was a wheat or grain or barley. If you had orchards, they could take the pears or the peaches or the apricots or the avocados or the apples. And they could take enough to feed themselves. There'd be no charge. That's how people were taken care of that were poor. So here she comes, a foreigner, and God is fulfilling his word to her by allowing her to be in this man Boaz's field and to be taken care of. Now, when she left, she came and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. Now, she didn't just happen. Nothing just happens in our lives. God had this plan from before the foundations of the earth that she would end up here at this place. And she did. She ended up, and she could have been rebellious, said, I'm not going with Ruth, and the Lord would have had a different plan. But there's nothing that just happens in our lives, ladies and gentlemen. Now, you can let good things happen or bad things happen. You can make bad things happen or you can make good things happen. But God overall sees what's going to happen. And it's you and how you handle what happens that shows the character you are as a man or a woman. And it's the circumstance, again, proving your heart. It's not your heart proving the circumstance. And so she happens to be in this field of the family of Elimelech. Boaz came from Bethlehem and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." Could you imagine going to work tomorrow where the boss walks out and says, "Hey, the Lord be with you." And if you heard all the people that work there say, "And the Lord bless you." Imagine the work environment that would be. And Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" First thing he sees when he goes to work that morning is beautiful. That's Ruth's name, is beautiful. Her name literally had three translations: beautiful, personality, and friendly. She was just a great package all wrapped up into one. And the first thing this guy sees is beauty. Beauty. And he's stunned. This is called love at first sight. It develops from that statement. Because whenever a man is going to ask another man, "Who's the babe?" you know something's up right there, right? So he says, "Who is this? Who does she belong to?" That was his first question. "I don't remember seeing her. Do I know her father? Do I know her brother? Do I know her uncle? I don't remember seeing her around. Who does she belong to?" He's really saying, "Is she taken? Is she married?" He's smitten by her beauty, love at first sight. So Boaz says, "Who is she?" The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little bit in the house for a while." This is interesting because her reputation preceded her. This is the Moabite, the young Moabite woman. So we know that she's young and that she is a foreigner. But this is the young Moabite woman. That means everybody in Bethlehem knew about her. Just like everybody in Bethlehem knew about Jesse and David. Just like everybody in Bethlehem knew about Joseph and Mary not being able to give birth to this child in the inn or in a hospital, but had to go out into the stable and be giving birth out there under the stars. Everybody knew about this woman. What does it tell us about her? Tell us she's a quality with a K person. Really a Q probably, but Philip always likes to say that's quality with a K. She's a quality person. And if there's a lesson to learn about being a quality person, it's from the book of Proverbs, and she amplifies it. In the book of Proverbs, King Solomon said that a good name is rather to be had than riches and jewels. You would rather have a good name than to be the wealthiest person in San Diego. If you have horrible morals, everybody knows that. If you're a liar, everybody knows that. If you're a cheater, nobody trusts you. If you're a person that says yes and keeps by your yes, they'll trust you. Your name and your reputation is more valuable than all the wealth of San Diego that could be given to you. If you're known as a tough guy, that's not a good name. You may be feared by some people, but if you're known as a gentleman, you're respected by all people. Even the tough guys will respect a gentleman because the Bible says that a soft answer turns away wrath. So we know that she is quality. She is a woman whose reputation precedes her, that her employer, the superintendent, says to the owner, the boss, Mr. Boaz, she is the young Moabite woman that came home with Naomi. So everybody in the community knew who she was. So She said, let me work. Now, the second thing we know about her, not only has she got a good name and reputation, she's got a work ethic. She started in the early morning. She's worked all day long until now. She's only taken a short break for a moment. That's all. She's got a work ethic. So Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young men. Now, this is highly unusual that a man would confront a strange woman, and especially an older man going to a younger woman, let alone being a foreign woman, that he would confront her and talk to her. But you can see that he's in love with her just by the simple statement. First of all, he says to her, you will listen, my daughter. That was a very tender and gentle statement to her. You will listen, my daughter. He's doing two things. He's speaking in respect to her, that you are now part of my family, but he's also admitting, I'm an old dude and you're a young, beautiful woman. He's calling her his daughter, but he's also bringing her into his household, into his home by calling her daughter. And then when he says, you will listen to me, my daughter, comma, will you not? He's hoping she'll listen, pay attention to him. Now, all of you ladies have been hit on before. You're all beautiful. You're all just like Ruth. Men have come up to you. They've talked to you at all different places. And you can tell right off how a man talks to you and what he looks like if you want to say anything or even respond to him. So this guy comes up, and he's wealthy, and he's powerful, and she's not totally sure who he is yet. But she sees him talking to her superintendent, who obviously works for him. And when he walks over, he's gentle, and he's concerned, and he's nice, and he has no agenda other than he's taking a look at me. But she's so beautiful, she knows that men look at her all the time. But her beauty isn't what consumes her, so she's not trying to have men look at her. There's a difference. There's a lot of women that dress provocatively and wear certain clothes just so men will look at them. It's not because that's what they decide to put on. They decide to put it on because they want the men to look. She's just full of natural beauty and charisma and personality, and she realizes this man is not coming on to me, but he is very pleasant, and I want to learn what's going on here. So he says, my daughter, you will listen, will you not? And here's what he says. Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close to my young women. Now, he's admitting by my daughter there's an age difference, but he's also saying, whatever you do, I don't ever want to lose sight of you. There was a woman years ago, I was going to Norway, and I was the last one to get on the plane, and the woman was a Norwegian lady. She worked for the airlines, and she was helping me get through customs, and she was strikingly beautiful. And I kept looking away. She was just strikingly beautiful. And I thought, she's probably so beautiful and so vain, she knows all men are going to look at her, so I'm going to show her a thing or two. And I didn't ever look at her. I just looked the other way. And I said, I'm not going to look. She's too beautiful. And she could have been beyond a model, beyond a movie star. She was just natural, probably like Ruth. And so I said, thank you very much for the ticket. And I started to walk away. And she said, excuse me, just a minute. I said, yes, what? And she said, I know your voice. And I said, oh? She said, you're not on the radio at 6 o'clock every evening, are you, on KWVE? And I said, yes, I am. She said, well, praise the Lord, I'm a Christian. I said, oh, I just really judged you. And I said, I didn't tell her that, but the Lord. So I get over to Norway, and my friends meet me there where I'm speaking. And I said, I met this Norwegian lady, and I told her I was coming here to Kristianstad, and that she knew you and that you were her pastor. And she said, that's the most interesting story I ever met. And I said, Osborne Johansson. And I said, I had ever heard. And I said, what was it? I said, well, she was on vacation and had wanted to go to a good Christian church. And she'd listened to Chuck Smith's tapes. So she wanted to go to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, and meet Chuck Smith. She happened to be in the Kmart in Costa Mesa before or after the service. And a man walked up to her and said, you're the most beautiful woman in the world that I've ever met. I don't ever want to lose you. I want you to marry me. And I said, and what happened? She married him. I said, no kidding. I said, that sounds like the book of Ruth. And that's what Boaz did. You're the most beautiful woman. I don't want to lose you. That's what happened to Sandy and me. I saw Sandy 3 weeks later. I conned her into going to Vegas. We got married. I knew that that was the person. That I didn't want to lose her. When she found out who I was, well, that's a different story. But the Lord be with you. The Lord bless you. And she comes, who is this woman? You stay with me. He's in love. Don't go to another field. You have the right to go anywhere. Please don't leave my sight. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, my women. Go after them. Have not I commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. Now this means he's already done his homework. Finds out who she is. Goes over to the boss and all the men. And this guy's the wealthiest guy in Bethlehem probably. Powerful man. He says, you don't mess with that woman over there. See her? You don't mess with her. No, sir, we don't mess with her. We don't mess at all. No, sir, we don't mess with her. And then he comes to her and tells her this, says, have I not spread the word that no man will touch you? What is he saying there? Well, to be a foreign woman, to be a Gentile woman, is not to be respected by the men. And if there are other foreigners gleaning that were poor, behind his hired help that were getting paid to glean, then there could be sex going on in those fields at night, especially if they're drinking their wine and playing their music and dancing and having some fun, and things get carried away. He said, nobody's going to touch you. You're not going to be touched by anybody. Don't worry. Now we see Boaz coming alive here as a figure of Jesus Christ. We see the future bride, this foreigner, this stranger, this alien who's bankrupt and poor, that has nothing, coming into his turf, and he's coming up and saying, I love you, and I'll protect you, and I'll look after you, and I'll provide everything you have need of, and don't worry, nobody's going to mess with you. Now, when the priesthood brothers were up here, I was thinking the first service when they ask everybody to raise their hand, you know, a little sprinkle of love, raise your hand. You see a guy that size walk up to you and say, stick him up, raise your hands. You know, you get a little different feeling, don't you? But, well, and when I met them on 4th of July at that outreach, I thought, these are the sweetest guys. He's as big as a house, but got a heart just as big and so gentle and tender. That's how the Lord is with us. He's so huge. He's so big. But he comes to us and said, don't go anywhere else. Stick with me. I want to make you part of my family. Please listen to what I have to say. He's always saying, study your Bible, isn't he? Always read your word. Boaz is now coming on the scene like this redeemer coming to this beautiful woman that needs some protection. And so he says, the other thing is, you can drink the water. Otherwise, the foreigners would have to go their own way and take care of themselves. But he said, no, I have men that work for me, and they've drawn the water out of the vessels. You can go right up to where the hired help lives and works, and you can get their water. So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And Boaz answered and said to her, it has been fully reported to me. Now, what's been fully reported to anybody about me or you, let alone fully reported to the Lord? How many people are actually praying for you every day? Think of that. Do people love you enough that they pray for you and report to the Lord about you? You know, she's having some problems, Lord. Would you help her with her finances? He's having some problems, Lord. Would you help him with a new job? How many people are giving a full report to God about you? That's where you find love, when you know that people are doing that. And so he says, a full report has been made to me. All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and you've come to a people who you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. And then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, and you have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers. He passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. It's so much like the Lord right here. He says, the Lord repay your work, number one, verse 12. Give you a full reward, number two, by the Lord God of Israel. Number three, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Underline that, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Because next Sunday, as we finish this love story about Christmas, you're going to see that the wings that she came under, he says, under his wings, which is a great lesson for those of you that are wealthy. This man was probably the wealthiest area, wealthiest man in that area of Israel, just 2.5 miles south of Jerusalem. But he knew that his wealth was not his. His assets, his employees, his land, his money in the bank, cash at hand, whatever he had was the Lord's.
That's Mike McIntosh concluding this segment of an intriguing message from the Book of Ruth. This often overlooked part of the Old Testament provides important information about the way God works. We'll find out more about the preparations for the Messiah on the next broadcast of Chapter and Verse. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacIntosh.com. That's MikeMacIntosh.com and click on the teaching link. Then go to the sermon page for not only a complete series through Ruth, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacIntosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I want to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a part to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacIntosh.com. We'll be back here tomorrow at the same time on CNV for our continuing studies in the Book of Ruth. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout. And I'll